This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Paul Farmer is a doctor, an anthropologist, and according to at least one of his former patients in Haiti, he's a god. Farmer specializes in infectious disease. He's made it his mission to transform healthcare on a global scale, focusing on the world's poorest and sickest communities. Back in 1987, Farmer helped found a nonprofit called Partners in Health, which says its mission is both medical and moral. Now the group treats 1,000 patients a day for free in the Haitian countryside. Other projects take Farmer to Siberia and the slums of Lima, Peru. Writer Tracy Kidder profiles Dr. Farmer in a new book titled Mountains Beyond Mountains. Kidder describes the journey to the Partners in Health facility in Haiti's Central Highlands.
You drive from Port-au-Prince, and it takes about 3 hours. It's only, I think, 40 miles, so you can imagine what the road is like. It's like a dry riverbed. And you come through a landscape that's largely been deforested, that's eroded, where people are clearly hungry. After a while, you realize there's no electricity out there. It's quite shocking, actually, almost biblically shocking. And suddenly, you come upon this oasis, this thing that looks like a fortress on a mountainside, which is the medical complex that Partners in Health created there in the Central Plateau of Haiti, one of the poorest parts of Haiti. And it's just a tremendously exhilarating feeling to come upon it.
Dr. Farmer is heavily influenced by liberation theology, and the guiding principle of that, as they describe it, is a preferential option for the poor. What does that mean?
It's an interpretation of the Gospels that Christ really basically said that you have to pay attention to the poor. First of all, if you look at the world, you look at the fact that in some countries the average life expectancies are about 40 years, and in others, wealthy countries, they're about twice that. I think that preferential option for the poor in medicine, at least in farmers' hands, means we've got to correct that.
You spent some time traveling with Paul Farmer and what he called a light month for travel, which turned out to be anything but, going to Siberia and back to Boston to the hospital where he works there, and to Haiti and often to Peru. How does he keep going? How does he sustain this pace and this level of involvement?
Well, he does seem to have an extraordinary amount of energy. I think he has some God-given talents, but I think that the real secret of it is that he's all doctor. What he really loves to do is to doctor. And he manages wherever he goes. If he doesn't have any patients in a place like Cuba, he borrows some from friends of his there. This idea of helping people. He told me that once. He said, that's when I feel most alive, when I'm helping people. I think that's where his strength comes from. And I think this is a guy who is in love with the world and is offended in proportion by the terrible flaws he sees in it.
Along with seeing the patients, as you describe it, going to Cuba and adopting patients from other doctors or prisoners in Siberia who are suffering from tuberculosis, he also has a much broader mission, which is really to change the way the world health experts think about and treat communicable disease. And that's a big part of what he's doing.
Yes, that's right. I think the whole range of human ailments is what he's interested in. They happened upon an epidemic of something called multidrug-resistant tuberculosis in Peru. And the World Health Authorities had said it wasn't cost-effective to try to treat it in such a place. But Farmer and his colleagues ended up getting 85% cure rates, which is better than in the best treatment facility for that disease in the world. And it was very expensive. Partners in Health spent all the money it had been saving as an endowment to buy the drugs to treat these people. But the reason it was so expensive was the cost of those drugs. And it turned out that almost all of them were off patent. So Farmer and his colleagues, particularly his colleague Jim Young Kim, just decided to attack the prices of those drugs, and they've managed to drive those prices down by about 95%. In the heels of that, Partners in Health got a grant from the Gates Foundation to tackle multidrug-resistant tuberculosis throughout the entire country of Peru, and that's a project that's going on very well now.
Paul Farmer's group, Partners in Health, has largely been funded in the past through a benefactor in Boston, Tom White, who had a lot of money and has decided that, as you put it, he wants to leave this life without a nickel.
Yeah, he's doing a good job of that.
He's giving them a lot of money. But inevitably, they're running up against questions of resources and the best way to spend the money they have. And this seems to be something that drives Paul Farmer absolutely nuts.
Well, what drives him nuts is the notion that there isn't enough money to have something like equity and health throughout the world. It's true, of course, absolutely speaking, that resources are always limited, but as he likes to say, they're more limited now than they've ever been before. It's also a fact that you can do this stuff for a lot less money than a lot of people think. You know, in the United States, we spend, I think, the last figures I saw were about roughly $20,000 to treat an uncomplicated case of tuberculosis. In Haiti, Partners in Health treats uncomplicated TB for about $200, a little bit less, and they do it with 100% efficacy. They haven't lost a single patient to an uncomplicated case of TB since 1988. So I think it drives him crazy because it looks to him like an excuse for inaction, for maintaining a truly horrific status quo.
When Paul Farmer walks out into the Haitian countryside to find patients who are suffering from TB, for example, inevitably, once he finds those patients and may be able to treat them, the list gets longer. He opens up this kind of Pandora's box, and it turns out that it's not just that the family needs drugs for TB. They also need a house that has a roof and a cement floor.
Shoes for the children, education.
Where does that stop?
It doesn't stop anywhere for him. He feels, I think, that those are things that too often the human rights community ignores, that these must be basic rights of all. That he regards them as basic rights, the right to health. And then that one little corner of Haiti, I mean, he's managed to start to provide those essentials.
It is also where he tends to butt up against health policy experts who are worried about things like sustainability. How long can you keep this going? And can you replicate it anywhere else in the world?
Right. On sustainability, I think what he would say is that, you know, what we have to sustain is our commitment to try to redress these problems. Nothing much is sustainable in Haiti without help from outside at the moment. As for replicability, the fact is that their little project for treating multidrug-resistant TB in a slum of Peru is now being expanded to cover the entire country. That looks like a sustainable project to me. And the fact that they've taken this one piece of their healthcare system in Haiti and are expanding it now to cover an eighth of the country, that suggests that it's also suggests that it's replicable.
We're talking about Paul Farmer's successes, but at one point in the book, he tells you this: "I have fought for my whole life a long defeat," and I'm not sure I understand fully what he meant by that.
Well, it came up in the context of a boy whom they had. It's a sort of complicated story, but basically they brought a boy back to Boston for treatment of a very rare cancer. They had arranged for free care at Mass General for him, and he died. And to get the boy out of the country, they had to spend about $20,000. And the question arose, how many other things you could have done with that $20,000? And that line about his long defeat was a partial answer to that. That is, I'm not going to give up just because we go on losing. And he went on to say, he said, look, we're not against victory. We love winning, but we're not going to quit just because we keep on losing. You have to be prepared to lose, is what I think he's saying. You have to pick the losers to start with. Because if you pick the winners, what have you accomplished?
Tracy Kidder, thanks very much.
Oh, you're entirely welcome. Thank you.
You can hear Tracy Kidder read an excerpt from his book titled Mountains Beyond Mountains at our website, npr.org.